So good. Hey, how you doing, Alana Roiza? So it's really a tremendous pleasure and schus for me to share some words of Torah, perhaps some guidance tonight at the Mechlelet. I have to say that whatever the Mechlelet ever asks me to do, I will always do it without asking any questions. Please don't tell Shani Shulman that. And that is because I have tremendous hakaras hatov to the Mechlelet. My daughter was here for many, many years, and I think that she grew tremendously from her experience here. She kept on coming back every summer, kept on really loving it, kept on growing more and more and more, so I have worlds of hakaras hatov to the whole staff of the Mechlelet and the whole program and the whole idea of it. And that's really what I want to speak about a little bit about what a davar gadol ma'od that all of you are involved in, and just some ha'aros. I told Shani Shulman that the title of this is really the importance of the mechaneches in chinuch. Of course, you know, I'm used to giving this talk to men. Who are going into chinuch, or who are in chinuch, or madrichim on the kollel, who are involved in chinuch. But the truth is, it's obviously it's a common denominator everywhere. There's an old Jew who lives in Shuafat. His name is Rav Kleinerman. He's an altar mirror. He learned in the Mir Yeshiva, I think, for like 60 or 70 years. He remembers Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. And he once told me that when I went to visit him once, my cousins here who live in Israel have a very close relationship with him. And he once told me that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the old Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva, once told the boys, that Reb Yisrael Salanter once told the altar of Slabodka, Yisrael Salanter, of course, the great rabbi credited with the beginning of the Musar movement, the Altar of Slabodka, great rabbi, Rosh Yeshiva, who started the yeshiva in Slabodka, who said that the main purpose of a yeshiva, and I wrote you out all my notes over here, you know, just to give you something to, you don't have to, you don't need them, but just to give you something to walk away with. I always like people to have something to walk away with. You heard all this stuff. You remember, you know, this way, if you have it on a sheet, so you have Talmudo Biado, as the Gemara says. You have it in your hands. So Yisrael Salanter, when the altar of Slabodka was setting up the yeshiva in Slabodka, you know, the father of so many yeshivos, that the main point of a yeshiva, as the Navi says in Yeshayahu, is Lahachios Lev Nidkoim Ulahachios Ruach Shvalim. Wow. You would think that a yeshiva, the main point is to teach Torah, to teach Chumash and Navi and Halacha and Toshabap, or whatever else you learn and teach. And the Mechlelet is a yeshiva. Shuto Kamashmo, so there's a lot of learning that goes on here. And it's so fascinating that the altar, Yisrael Salanter said that, no, the main point is to lift up those who are downtrodden and to give life to those who are lifeless. And he didn't just mean, you know, the Torah is life. He meant that, you know, to pick people up, lahachios lev nidkayim, those who are downtrodden. And we see a lot of people, and I think we tend to think nowadays that it's worse than it was, and maybe it's worse than it was when I was growing up 30, 40 years ago. But you see so many kids who are looking for attention, looking for just a kind word. And certainly when it's done through Torah and through teaching, it's even more amazing. But we shouldn't lose focus of what we're here to do. Literally to lift up people, to raise people up, to give them life, to give them chias. There's no greater profession in the world. There's no greater activity that you could be involved in the world than to lift people up, than to take people who are looking for attention, looking for a purpose in life, looking for meaning, This is what we do. This is what you spend your summers doing. It's a tremendous thing. The Gemara says, Avedas Rabo comes even before Avedas Aved. There's a lost object, and your father's object and your Rebbe's object are lost. So you first go to the one who taught you Torah. The Gemara says, because your father brings you only into this world, but your Rebbe brings you into this world and to the next world. There's only one profession, or Moshe Weinberger likes to say, there's only one profession in the Tanakh that's referred to as Meleches Hashem. The Gemara in Baba Basra quotes this pasuk as the source for a very scary thing, which should give each of us a lot of pause. I'm sure all the Madrichot spend a lot of time preparing. You know, girls, they work a lot harder than boys. I'm sure you all spent like hours and hours and hours and more hours preparing all your chaburos. You know, the Gemara in Baba Basra applies this dictum to anyone who, and just think about this for a few seconds, because this is very scary. And I've been now in Jewish education for 23 years, and I'm still terrified by this. But the pasuk states in Yirmiyahu, Arur Osa Melechas Hashem Rimiyah. The Gemara in Baba Basra uses this pasuk to teach us that cursed is any teacher who gets something wrong when you teach the kid something. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm certainly not perfect. And a lot of what I learn sometimes, you know, I learn, I prepare, but you know, sometimes you're in the middle of teaching something and you're wondering, did I really get that right? You know, teaching them, did I really get that source right? Well, Gemara Baba Basra says there's a curse on any teacher, because Gemara says, because once you teach somebody something wrong the first time, especially when they're young, it stays with them like that for the rest of their lives. If you're going to teach them halachos, you're going to learn different psukim or the meaning of certain things. So stam, that's like a side point. But the reason I'm bringing it here is not to terrify you about the curses that are going to come upon you if you teach incorrectly. Just the opposite. Moshe Weinberger said there's only one profession in all of Tanakh that's referred to as Meleches Hashem. And it's not being a doctor or a lawyer or an architect. It's a Torah teacher. A Torah teacher is called Meleches Hashem. That's what the Navi refers to it as. So you should all realize what a davar gadol ma'od it is that you're doing. Meleches Hashem. Literally, God's work is what you're doing. The Gemara Baba Basra also quotes, Matztike harabim kekochavim la'olam vayed. Pasuk in Daniel. U'matztike harabim kekochavim la'olam vayed. Who's this referring to? Says the Gemara Baba Basra, Elu Milande Tinokos. This is referring to the people who teach Torah. Matztike harabim. You're literally bringing people to righteousness. And like I'm telling you, I saw my daughter grow on this program. Matztike harabim kekochavim la'olam vayed. Like shining stars. This is referring to Elu Milande Tinokos. And of course, the Gemara on Shabbos teaches us, Ein ha'olam miskayim ela behevel pihem shel tinokos shel beis rabban. The world only exists for the words of Torah that emanate from young children. And finally, in this opening section, just about the chashivas of teaching Torah and learning Torah, my grandfather, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Rabbi Dr. Joseph Kamenetsky, you could Google him later and find out about him. He's the architect of the day school in the United States. He was involved in Torah Masorah in the 1940s, 1950s, beginning yeshivas, starting yeshivos throughout North America, in Arizona, in Los Angeles, in St. Louis, in Minneapolis, in Memphis, and everywhere where there was a Jewish community in the 40s and 50s, so he worked to start day schools. So, my grandfather's favorite, Ramban al Torah. Just a little side word to the wise, Ramban al Torah, unbelievable. And all the hashkafos and yesodos and foundations of all of Judaism are found in the Ramban al Torah. Some of you know, Ravan Lichtenstein passed away this year, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. My Rebbe, Rav Mendel Blachman, my Rebbe, so he told us when we got to yeshiva when I was 18 years old, a long time ago, he said, the first, you want to learn Jewish philosophy, you want to know what it means to be a Jew, you want to learn Hashkafas Hayadus, the first sefer you have to learn is Ramban al Torah. Every Shabbos, you learn, during the week we learned Gemara, but on Shabbos he said, study the Ramban al Torah on the whole parsha. That's what I did, 12 at night till 3 in the morning, every single night, my first year in yeshiva. I don't recommend that. That wasn't the most productive time to be learning it, but that's what I did. We just went through the Ramban al Torah. So my grandfather loves this Ramban. He lived his life by this Ramban. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein once said, if he was stuck on a desert island without the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim, he could survive. But without the Ramban al Torah, he didn't know he could survive. How could he be Jewish without the Ramban al Torah? I didn't understand. Anyway, there's a Ramban in Parshas Kisavo. You look it up afterwards. Famous Ramban, where he says on the pasuk Arur Asher Lo Yakim Es Divrei HaTorah Azos Lasoso Sa. Cursed is he who does not uphold the Torah to do it. So the Ramban's language is like this: Lomad Velimed Vishamar Vaasa Vahyasibek Biyadullah Hamid Torah Biyadachim Velo Hamid Harezeb Arab. The big question is, what's the Torah cursing over there? It already said, cursed if you do this Aveir, cursed if you do that Aveir, cursed if you do this Aveir. Then at the end it says, cursed is anyone who doesn't uphold the Torah. You just told me you did this Aveir, you're cursed, that Aveir, so that's included enough. What's this upholding the Torah? That's everything. So what do you need the first one? It just said, Arsha Lucky must call a Torah, anyone who doesn't hold up the whole Torah. So says the Ramban, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean anyone who doesn't uphold any mitzvah. It means even a person who learned and taught other people, Vishamar, Vasa, he did all the mitzvahs. But he had the ability to be machzik Torah in the hands of somebody else. To strengthen somebody else who was weak, not just to teach, but to build somebody up, like we spoke about in the beginning, Lahach Yisroch Shvon. People come here this summer, they mamish get built up. They become different people. They become people who are machzik, who are, they actually are full of Torah. It's not just something they do, but it becomes who they are. Lahachzik Torah v'yadachem v'lo hamid harei zubarad. And who knows if they wouldn't come here, or if they do come and we don't give it to them, they'll turn away. They'll be lost. So this is a special. That's my grandfather went around the United States building yeshivas with this Ramban. You have to be machzik Torah to build yeshivas. There's a Jewish community in St. Louis. There's 5,000 Jews. We need a yeshiva here. Hi, they're not from. So he found a way to do it. Now let's talk a little bit about what is a mechanech or a mechaneches. I'm not used to speaking to women. What is a mechaneches? But it's all the same business. It's all the same Torah teaching. It doesn't matter whether you're a male or a female. If you're teaching Torah, then this applies to you. So I want to talk a little bit about what a good mechaneches is. What is a good Torah teacher? So the most important way that a person influences another, and one of my favorite vignettes about teaching, does the name Ethan Metzger mean anything to anybody here? Ethan Metzger? So one time you should Google Ethan Metzger Poetry Slam. You should one time Google that. High school boy from SAR. High school, I've never met him, but he's my hero. Just want you to know. This high school boy from SAR, I never met him, but he is my hero. Because he, one time, entered into this non-Jewish poetry slam. And he basically said there was a kid in his class who was claiming that all of his Judaism he was brainwashed with. His parents brainwashed him to do this and brainwashed him to do that, and he davens because he's brainwashed and he keeps kosher because they brainwashed him, and if he would think about all these things, he would never do these things. So he responds, he has a beautiful poetry slam where he says, you could call it brainwashing. Basically, the upshot of it is, you call it brainwashing, I call it teaching. So there's a fine line between brainwashing and teaching. You know, we're not trying to brainwash people, we're trying to teach them. We're trying to teach people what being a Jew is about. It's okay. That's what we're here to do. We're here to influence. People are here to learn. They need teachers. They need parents. They need people to teach them, to influence them. Now, how does one have influence? So here is the most important thing. You're going to hear from me all day, or all evening. And that is that the biggest influence that happens between a Rebbe and a student, on the Chaneches and the Chanicha, the biggest influence happens not through the actual Torah that you teach them, although that's very, very, very important. mitzvah, it's Hashem's word, it's the Dvar Hashem, fills them up. But the biggest impact that you have is not through. If you think about it, if you think back to the people who had the biggest impact on you, was it what you actually learned in their classes? Maybe it was. Most of the time, it's not. Most of the time, it's the individual, it's the personal example that you saw the people living outside of the classroom or inside the classroom. The respect that they have for people, the warmth that they have, the midos that they themselves had. That has the ahavas haTorah or the chashivas haTorah that they brought to the class. It's not so much the actual Torah that you teach. But being a role model is 150,000 times more important than the actual Torah that you teach. And a mechaneches has to know that at all times. And in some sense, I say this to parents all the time also. When you're a parent, so if you have, let's say, one little fault, you have one little thing that you do wrong as a parent, one little thing, somehow your kids look at that one little thing that you do wrong, and they magnify it times 20,000. They like, you know, they take it and run with it. You know, oh, daddy does this or daddy talks this way, so I can do 100 times worse. That's the way kids are. They find like magnifying glasses. And kids in a classroom, it's the same way, or kids in a chabura, it's the same way. So you have to be, it's a big responsibility, but the personal example, that is the most important thing. I mentioned before of Aaron Lichtenstein, tremendous tzaddik, Talmud Chacham, one of my rabbeim who passed away this year. He wrote once in Jewish Action, I'm afraid I'm going to get it wrong, but he said, I am firm today because I saw three people. Rav Huttner, Rav Shlomo Zalman, and Rav Soloveitchik. And he didn't just mean that as hyperbole. He meant that his rabbeim and the dugma shit that he saw from his rabbeim, just seeing them, just interacting with them, you know, that was such a powerful, made such a powerful impact on him about his own Yiddishkeit. Certainly my rabbeim, I have a rebbe here in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Mendel Blachman, Karen Biavne, he certainly provided for me passion and a fire for Avas HaTorah. My Rabbi, Rav Mordechai Willig, who has given me my entire life, has taught me a tremendous amount of Torah and has been an incredible example to me about how one conducts themselves, how one treats people, what humility is, how important humility is. We'll talk about that in a few moments, because to me that's the most important trait for any Jew. Kavachomer, Ben Benosh and Kavachomer, how that's the most important trait for any mechanech or mechanechas to have. Goes back to what we were talking about before. But dugma ishit, example. You have your mashpi'im who were your examples, and now it's your turn over the summer for sure to be the examples for the kids. And here's a very important point about that. Of course, one of the most important ways that you are an example, one of the most important impressions that you make, and probably the biggest impact that you make, is your midos. That's what the kids see. They see your midos. They see your humility. They see your avas haTorah. And the Rambam, I think, addresses this in Hilchos Talmud Torah. I don't have the exact source for you here, but it's a famous Rambam. You can look it up in Hilchos Talmud Torah. And it's the Rambam's quoting a pasuk. I believe, I don't remember, I think the pasuk is in Micha. If somebody knows, please tell me. But the pasuk says, Sifsei kohen yishmeru das, the Torah yavakshu mipiyu, ki malach Hashem tzavakosu. And basically the pasuk seems to be saying that someone wants to learn Torah from is supposed to be like a malach. And the Rambam even quotes this lahalacha. The Rambam says, if the Rebbe is doma l'malach Hashem tzavakos, if the Rebbe is like a malach, then you should learn from that Rebbe. But if the Rebbe is not like a malach, then you shouldn't learn from that Rebbe. Any malachim in the room here? No? Anyone a malach? Halo? Anybody?
So, this is a very strange Rambam. Because how in the world could the Rambam set the bar that a Rebbe is supposed to be an angel? Angels have no Yetzirah. Angels never do anything wrong. What does the Rambam mean? The Rebbe is supposed to be like a Malach Hashem Tzivatos. If the Rebbe is like a Malach, then they should study Torah from him. If the Rebbe is not like a Malach, we don't study Torah from him. That's setting the bar way high. I think probably everyone's just going to run out of the room. Forget it. I don't rate. I'm not a Malach. So let me tell you the way I always understood this Rambam. The most outstanding defining quality of a Rambam, of a Malach, the most outstanding defining quality of a Malach is that a Malach, by its very definition, has no personal agenda. There's no agenda. What is a Malach? A Malach is something that Hashem created to do His will. That's it. That's what a Malach is. A Malach has no Yitzhar. A Malach has no challenges. A Malach just does, right? Just does. There's no... A Malach has no personal interests. And someone who is dedicated to teaching kids, who is dedicated to inspiring kids, can't have any other agendas. Like, it's only natural, for instance, it's only natural, and I've been in Jewish education, I said, for 23 years, formally, and more years than that informally. It's only natural that when a person teaches kids, you're the center of attention, and these thoughts begin to creep into a person's head. Oh, look at me. All these kids are learning from me. I'm like the sage on the stage, and I'm the source of all knowledge for these kids. I know all this stuff, and very easy for a sense of self-centeredness to creep into that endeavor. And once self-centeredness creeps into the mind and the speech of the teacher is finished. Because nobody wants to learn from somebody who is about them and not about the kids. Rebbe has to be a teacher, a Torah teacher has to be totally dedicated to the kids, totally dedicated to Hashem, totally dedicated to just being a funnel to just appreciate the privilege that they have to be the funnel to help direct the Dvar Hashem down to Hashem's children. And that's the attitude that you should have. And sometimes, you know, if a student starts getting, or a chanicha, or a NCSYer, starts interrupting, or, then you start to get upset, and you lose patience with people, or they're not focused, or they're tired, or they're, making jokes, or whatever they do. I don't know what girls do at all. I only know what boys do. But they say the girls don't do the same things as boys, but whatever. Some stuff is the same. But the key thing is, the key point is that a Malach, as you see on the sheet I wrote here, ain lo interestim pratiim. He has no personal agendas. And the Malach is the ultimate in humility. Because the Malach has no agenda, has no desires or wants of its own. The Malach is totally dedicated to the service. That's why Chazal say, ain Malach echad oseh shtei shlichuyos. Remember that from Chazal, from Rashi? Why? Because a Malach, he can't do two things. It's only connected to do one thing. That's all I can do. The Malach is, that's what a Malach is. I can only do one thing, the Ratzon Hashem, that's it. So that's what the Rambam means. If the Rebbe is Domel Malach Hashem Tzavakos, then you learn from such a Rebbe. But if the Rebbe has their own agendas and they want to be the cool one who all the kids are coming to, then they're going to very soon lose the attention of the kids. And actually, they may get the attention of the kids, but they're not going to be successful at communicating the Dvar Hashem. And you don't only need a Rebbe or a teacher or a Mechaneches for Torah. You also need a Mechaneches to teach Midos. And I spoke about before how a teacher is a role model for Midos. As a matter of fact, the Bar Tanura, which is a commentary on the Mishnayos, points out that it's very interesting that
The whole Shalshelas HaNesorah, the whole description of how Torah was passed through the generations, which is described in the Mishnah of Moshe Kibel Torah Mitzinai, Sarah LeYoshua, Yoshua LeZakenim, or Zakenim LeNeviim. Are you familiar with this? With this Mishnah? Are you familiar with this Mishnah? So what Masechta is this Mishnah at the beginning of? Anybody know? What? Avos. Correct. Now, is that really where you would expect this to be? Wouldn't you expect this to be at the beginning of Shas? Why is this in Maseches Avos? Shouldn't this be in Maseches Brachos at the very beginning of Shas? Moshe Kibul. We want to tell you where did all this stuff come from? Moshe Kibul Torah Mitzinai, Misar Yeshua, Yeshua is a Kenan, Kenan Levin, Levin, Misar Chikhanes Nagdola, Shem Rav Moshe Shosh. It should be at the beginning of Shas. Why isn't Pirkei Avos? Said Rabbeinu Ovadia Mibar Tanura, which is one of the most famous commentaries on the Mishnayos. Of course, everybody knows Kahati, but before Kahati, there was a couple of hundred years before Kahati, because Rabbi Pinchas Kahati did a tremendous service to Klai Yisrael by giving a modern Hebrew translation for the Mishnayos, before Kahati was around. So Rabbeinu Ovadia Mibar Tanura and the Tosfos Yontan, those were the classic commentaries on Mishnayos. When I was growing up, there was no Kahati. Can you imagine? We lived without a Kahati. But says the Bar Tanura, why is Moshe Kibul Torah Mitzinai, why is that the introduction to Maseches Avos, particularly to teach us exactly this point? You think you only need a Mesorah for Halacha, for Masechta Brachos, for the laws of... No, Midos, what's Pirkei Avos about? Midos, you also need a Mesorah for. You also need Rabbeim for Midos. We need a tradition. The Torah, we have a tradition for Midos as well. You need a Rebbe for Midos. And I mentioned before that there's a tremendous danger in arrogance for a mechanic. And I mentioned before that that it's very easy for a mechanech to be arrogant. And of course, who is the greatest Torah teacher of all time? The greatest Torah teacher of all time was Moshe Rabbeinu. And what does the Torah say about Moshe Rabbeinu? Ha'ish Moshe anav ma'od mikol ha'adam ha'shal p'nei ha'adamah. Why did Hashem choose Moshe Rabbeinu to be the one to be melamed Torah to Klal Yisrael? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was all about his humility. And the Torah was given on Har Sinai, the lowest of all the mountains. Humility is the most important trait for any Jew to have. Kal v'chomer ben benoshel kal v'chomer for a mechaneches, who has to be the epitome of humility. It's not about me, it's about the Torah, it's about the kids, it's about the learning. It has to be totally dedicated to the chanichot. The Gemara in Sota teaches us that 1/64th of a measure of arrogance a teacher needs to have. Small measure. You have to stand for something. You have to, a very, very small measure. Again, I don't know how you measure 1/64th exactly, but the point is, you need a little bit. You have to stand for something. You're not supposed to let people just walk all over you. Sometimes you could be totally, given over and like, okay, anything goes. I'm not going to stand for anything. That's no good. A little bit you need, the Gemara says. You have to stand for something. Okay, that's all in terms of being a role model, Midos. The second thing that I think is crucially important for the mechanech to have, of course, it goes without saying that the mechaneches needs to know something, needs to know how to give it over as well. But that's not what I really want to talk about so much tonight. And as we move towards the end, it's so crucially important that the mechanech or mechaneches has what. An ahava she'ena tluya b'davar for her chanichot. A real love for the people who you are teaching. It's crucially important to have that. And even if you have that one annoying kid, or two or three annoying kids, who you find it really hard to love, let's be honest. I know I'm saying something that none of you ever thought about, but I've thought about it. And those girls, you have to even go further out of your way to work on yourself, even though they're annoying. You have to love them, because if you're not going to love them, then none of the hashpa'a is going to happen. As the Mishnah states clearly in Pirkei Avos, Hevei mikamidov shel Aaron, Oiv shalom, Verodiv shalom, Oiv es habrios, umakavim latorah. What that Mishnah teaches is that if you're not Oiv es habrios, you're never going to be makarv anyone latorah. Oiv es habrios, umakavim latorah. You want to influence people, you want to be mashpia, you want to teach people, you have to love them. You have to put their needs first. You have to be patient and tolerant with them. Rav Soloveitchik famously teaches in a beautiful essay, one of his svarim, Rav Bezdin wrote Reflections of the Rav, a world famous essay, where in Parshas Bahaloscha, where Klal Yisrael keeps on complaining and complaining and complaining and complaining, and Moshe Rabbeinu turns to God and said, hey, I was the Torah teacher. You hired me to teach fancy Rambans and Sfaros and Ebn Ezras, and I got to put up with all these people? What does he say? He'anochi harisi eskalam hazeh, and anochi yilidit tiyu, ki tomare lai sa'eu b'chekechel kasher yisa ha'omen esayonek? What, do you want me to carry these people like a nursing mother carries a baby? What does Hashem respond to? Salvechik explains, it's not so clear the Pesukim what to respond to. He responds, okay, I'll give you some help. Here, take the Shuddens of Canaan. Right? Now they'll help you out. But instead of Salvechik, this is Moshe Rabbeinu's analysis of himself. But Salvechik said, Sachash Baruch said to him, yes, that's exactly what a Torah teacher is. It's not just about the glamour of teaching fancy Rambans and Sfarnos and Ebed Ezras and Halachos and Piske Halacha from this one or that one or the other one. It's dealing with their garbage. It's dealing with their annoying complaining. That's part of being a Jewish leader. It's caring about them. Just a quick story, not on the sheet. Amazing, amazing, amazing story about empathy. Caring for people. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe's 20th yard site was very recently. You may be familiar with the fact that a number of books came out on the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Anybody familiar with the books that came out on the life of the Lubavitcher Rebbe? You've seen the books? There's one book that I read last summer by Joseph Polushkin, a biography of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal book. I heard some people Chabad don't like the book, but I don't know. I don't know if that's true, but phenomenal book. So there's one story in that book that a young woman, a 17, 18-year-old girl, came to Lubavitcher Rebbe. She had just got one of the fun experience and lost her parent. And she was involved in a shidduch. Maybe she was 19, 20, I forgot already. She was involved in a shidduch and the shidduch didn't work out. And then she lost all her money and she had so many tzaras. She went to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe said something that I don't necessarily recommend you saying, but the Rebbe said to her, I feel your pain. She looked at him and said, what do you mean you feel my pain? How do you feel my pain? You're not going through what I'm going through. How do you feel my pain? I don't believe you that you feel my pain. That's why I don't really recommend that you go to a Shiva house, Rahman all the time, somebody's going to say, you know, I feel your pain. If you're not sitting Shiva, you're not feeling the person's pain. I don't recommend you say it. Well, Baba Sharebi can say it for your pain. So she said, what do you mean? So the Rebbe said, I'll explain to you what I mean. You know when a mother has a baby, and the baby's born, and the baby's a month old, and 3 months old, and 6 months old, and then the baby's a year old, and the baby starts getting teeth, and the baby starts teething. And when the baby starts teething, the baby wakes up at 2 in the morning in the night screaming in pain as the teeth begin to cut through the gums, and the baby's in pain. And the mother wakes up in the middle of the night, she picks up the baby, and she's looking at the baby, and she's trying to calm the baby down. She's looking into the baby's eyes. And she feels so terrible for the baby. And she's holding the baby, and the baby's crying. And the mother's looking, and the mother's crying too, trying to lull the baby back to sleep. The baby should... So the Lubavitcher Rebbe asked this young woman, does the mother feel the baby's pain? So the woman said, yeah, the mother does feel good. So the Lubavitcher said, that's how I feel your pain. So the point is, you have to care. You have to care. And you have to love, and you have to care. And you have to have oodles and oodles and oodles and oodles of patience and caring. Chanoch lanar al pi darko means that you have to not only realize that every student will be reached in a different way, and every girl has their own unique set of circumstances that she brings to the chabura, she brings to mechlala, but you also have to be careful to not want to turn everybody into a miniature version of you. Chanoch lanar al pi darko means al pi darko. The path that one girl is going to take is not necessarily the path that you took. You have to have a broad vision. If you're caring about the kid, then it's not about making the kid like you, and that person has to have exactly the same turnout exactly like you, but it's to find out within that child, within that youngster, what's the best way that that person can grow. All right, Rav Volbi very famously has in a sefer called Zriyah Ubinyan Bechinuch. You have to know when to plant and when to build. You have to know when to say, this is the way it is, and when to not force your opinion on people, but just to plant, to throw some ideas out there and let them grow on their own. And like I said before, if girls are not behaving during the chabura, don't take it personally. They're kids. Chances are, when you were 15, you weren't perfect either. And you have to remember, like, kids are kids, and they're coming to Mechlelet, and it's the summer, and it could be hot, and they could be hungry or tired or whatever's going on. And don't take it personally. You have to have patience. You have to have understanding. You have to have care. You have to have love. And there are so many girls, and it seems like there's even more nowadays. You know, there's a family issue, or an illness in the family, or there's lack of harmony at home. Those girls are going to need even more and more care and more patience and more tolerance. And I go back to what Rav Kleinman said at the beginning. That's your main goal. You could lift up somebody who's down, who has a broken family, or who has struggling with whatever kind of issues, and you all know all the issues that girls struggle with better than I do. You have to have patience, you have to have tolerance, and you have to give bucket loads and bucket loads of love and care and patience. A lot of times, if you teach with the love of your students in mind, even if it doesn't go in now, they will remember the care, they'll remember the passion, they'll remember the love that you have for them, and at a later time, when they're more ready for it, it'll go in. Like the Kutzker Rebbe famously said, he's saying Kriya Shema V'Hayu Hadvar Ma'ela Shanochim Mitzavcha Hayom Al Levavecha. You should place those things on your heart. Says the Kutzker, why does the Torah say you should place words of Torah on people's heart? Well, sometimes the heart is not ready to open up to have it, but if you put them on the heart, when the heart breaks, they'll fall in. At a certain time, they might be ready for it later. It might fall in. So even if they're not accepting it now, you place the Divrei Torah Al Levavam. And sometimes at a later point, if you placed it there, it'll fall in. And my final piece of advice is that you should have relationships with the girls outside of Chabura and try to keep the relationship up even after the summer, because that shows that it was real. You know, if it's just your job over the summer, so you're done with it, that's it. But if you keep in touch after the summer, that shows, hey, I really care about you. It wasn't just about my job over the summer teaching you Torah. It's that I really want to have a relationship with you, and I really want to keep it. And by us in yeshiva, I work very, very hard that even after the kids leave, we visit them after they're gone, they're not paying tuition anymore. I don't stand to benefit anything from them anymore in that sense. The relationship was real. You want to keep up the relationship. It was real. We visit the guys in Eretz Yisrael. We visit them in college. We try to keep up with them. We go to chasnas. We go to have alumni events, shiur, and stuff like that.
Is there a pink iPhone on the table?
Yeah. Are you coming home with me?
No.
You're not coming home with me? How are you getting home?
I'm staying.
You sleeping here? Sure?
I think she's doing wake up tomorrow morning.
He's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. The last thing is that, like I said, the relationship should be real. It should exist beyond this summer, beyond your Chabura, outside that. Let's close with my favorite idea from the Chassid Sofer. You have to go? Okay. So you'll have what? The story. Here's the story. Here's the story. No. Not a story. The Chasim Sofer. The Moshe Feinstein famously stated that you're supposed to give 1/10 of your time to help other people. What people don't know is that he's arguing on the Chasim Sofer, who said as much time as you give, you should give. Even if you want to give 90% to others, you can give 90%. The Chasim Sofer basically says, he quotes Psukim in Parshas Lech Lecha, Vayera, Ki Yedativ, Laman Asher Yitzavis, Banam Espeis Achro, a whole long story, I don't have time to go into now, just one point. Chasim Sofer says, a person's worried that you spend all your time dealing with kids and teaching young people, so when is your own growth? When is that going to happen? Chassid Sofer says, Hashem will give. If you spend your time teaching kids who are weaker than you, Hashem will give a hatzlacha to your own learning, your own growth, as if that every moment that you spent teaching people, it's as if you were spending all that time on your own personal growth. So hopefully all of us should have the siyata d'shmaya to reach the girls, to help them grow. It's not about brainwashing, it's about education. Remember that Ethan Metzger video, and I wish all of you hatzlacha rabba b'chol ma'aseh yedeichem. Thank you so much for listening and inviting me, and have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. Thank you.
I didn't even notice. I mean, don't tell her that I didn't notice.
The DRS
very fair call. What's the DRS? I don't remember, but I think it probably is that I'm not sure. What, I think it's probably that the coach always keeps up with the kids afterwards, and that has the big hashra. I don't remember what it was. I've given this many times. I have to run. Hopefully there's a cab waiting for me. So have a great night, everybody. Thank you so much. And remember, it's our city. Don't tell Mr. Shulman that whatever. Shani Warman, I'm sorry. To meet you, Shani Warman. Shani Warman, yeah, don't tell her that I'll do whatever she wants. No problem.